This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2036. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded May 28th, Australia, Bougainville, Brazil, Canada, Congo DR, Cuba, Italy, Korea, North and South, Madagascar, Micronesia, North America, Papua New Guinea, Portugal, Sarawak, Spain, Taiwan, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, before plunging into the alphabet this week, a couple of items I did not have time for last week, which mainly apply to the UK and let us hope never to the USA. Mike Terry forwards this notice from RSGB, the Radio Society of Great Britain, which is the ham radio organization. It says in many areas of the UK, all the HF ham bands up to and including 20 meters are being blighted by interference from VDSL, which means Very High Speed Digital Subscriber Line. This is the most widespread means of providing residential broadband internet services in the UK. Ofcom, which is responsible for investigating radio interference, says it receives, on average, only 6 complaints per year and won't take any significant action. RSGB urges all suffering from VDSL interference to submit complaints to Ofcom, which has yet to be persuaded to take action. From the Isle of Wight, Alan Holder replies, "Submitting a complaint to Ofcom is a pointless exercise. I will not be doing so. I contacted RSGB a couple years ago about VDSL interference, and they arranged for open reach engineers responsible for broadband distribution to test the copper telephone line to my house. They could find no fault and suggested the interference came from leaky, unbalanced telephone extensions in neighboring houses. OpenReach have no powers to intervene and remove any unused or incorrectly user-installed wiring, assuming this was the cause of the interference, which I doubt. It's a case of majority over minority. Supplying high-speed broadband to the whole population is a major priority for the government. This can only be done over the old telephone infrastructure by using VDSL, an interim system using low and high frequencies. Until the whole country is hooked up to full fiber to the home and the old copper phone line system is done away with, SWLs and hams will have to live with a problem. I suffer from a considerable increase in background noise, especially in the 12 to 15 megahertz range. Using different antennas and noise-canceling devices gives little or no improvement. The UK regulator Ofcom has shown itself to be a totally incompetent organization, judging by the huge increase in interference on high frequencies from all manner of rubbish digital devices which they have allowed to flood onto the market. There's been also a big reduction in the number of interference investigation engineers. Ofcom are very reluctant to sort out interference problems for us hams and SWLs, who they regard as a nuisance. Something on seemingly a more positive note, also via Alan Holder, G4ZBH. It's about wireless power transfer. The International Electrotechnical Commission, IEC, International Special Committee on Radio Interference, has rejected a proposal by the Wireless Power Transfer Lobby, WPT, that would have resulted in pollution of the precious HF RF spectrum. While WPT systems nominally operate on frequencies below 150 kHz, they can pollute the entire HF spectrum up to 30 MHz, not only ruining people's enjoyment of radio, but also potentially disrupting the communication of key services. A WPT paper notes, "The business case for WPT systems expects a wide spreading of their usage. In the ideal case, nearly one system per household when mostly electric vehicles will be used in the future," quote unquote. He says such an outcome could result in horrendous interference levels and ruin the HF radio frequency spectrum, which is a precious natural resource. Upon Asilo Mar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports about a non-log of Radio 4KZ in Queensland 5055, May 26th. Checking after 0820UT, they were off the air. He contacted the general manager, Al Curtin, and got his prompt reply that there was a problem with the studio transmitter link, to be fixed shortly. It's the crappy distribution amplifiers at the studio end, he says, so I turned off the HF transmitter due to extremely low modulation. Fewer and fewer Brazilian stations remain active on shortwave. One I suspected that has gone away is Radio Aparecida, as I've not heard them in many weeks, especially when I check overnight on 9630 or 11856 variable. However, I did have something on 6135.096, May 24th at 0609, a barely audible carrier. It's a bit too late for Madagascar, about which more later, but Manuel Menes in Spain has actually measured Radio Aparecida on 6135.1, May 22nd at 2010. While Madagascar was only 1 hertz above 6135, according to Wolfgang Büschel. Until recently, the best Brazilian signal, if not the only one, on the 60-meter band, especially overnight, has been Rádio Clube do Pará on 4885. But lately, the best I can do there is a just barely audible carrier. Could it be that same station at reduced power or the other Brazilian listed, which is supposedly not on the air overnight, Acreana? So on May 27th at 0455, I was hearing a poor signal on 4885 via the Pardinho São Paulo KBSDR during a talk and interview show, and it matched the webcast a few seconds later from Rádio Clube do Pará. But the IDs around the top of the hour were not for that station. Instead, Rádio Bandeirantes 840 in São Paulo. That station had really abandoned shortwave some years ago on the 6.9 and 11 megahertz bands, but now it's apparently available to other stations at least as an overnight network feed. By the way, our condolences to those rational Brazilians who never supported the ascension to power of the world's second most stupid president. Manuel Mendes in Spain, it turns out, was doing exactly the same thing, listening via remotes in Brazil to 4885, agreeing about the Rádio Bandeirantes ID heard on Rádio Clube do Pará, which finally got back to its own programming when he checked again at 0830. And Bob Butterfield says he was hearing such a relay as early as April 15th during the 0400 hour. Must see, if you have not already and can spare almost 2 hours, especially if you ever listen to Radio Canada International on shortwave, and most especially if you ever broadcast over it, or even as an appreciation of all the now destroyed shortwave stations. Mick Dummage reminds us that Amanda Dawn Christie's Spectres of Shortwave film about the closure and demolition of RCI near Sackville, New Brunswick, is now free to enjoy on the web until Monday, June 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern. Here is the website. Copy it carefully. https://en.dazibao.art/online. It's in the Vimeo format. There are many different narrating voices, but we never see a one of them. In fact, hardly any humans during the entire film, nor are they named before the closing credit roll. There are lots of shots of the towers, inside the buildings, traveling along the highway. The final narration is by Mark Montgomery, breaking up as he says goodbye on the final transmission. And during the last quarter of the film, with only the guy wire strumming undercurrent accompanying, the towers start falling, excruciatingly, one by one. As I reported last week, Radio Kahuzi, the missionary station in the Congo DR, has had lots of interruptions due to power supply problems, but here is a log of it from Manuel Mendez in Spain. 6210.2 from Bukavu, May 23rd from 1740 until off at 1812. It was on the air then after more than a week off, extremely weak, carrier and approaching closing time. Some comments and songs were detected in LSB, but it was barely audible. Hey, did you notice last week I never said something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba? Well, this week I heard them again on 9340, an unlisted frequency, May 27th at 2200 in Spanish. I had logged this once before, only on May 1st at midnight 20, parallel to their regular Spanish frequencies, but 9640 was missing. It said something else weaker in Spanish there, which would be China Radio International via East Turkestan, land of imprisoning and brainwashing Uyghurs. So there were commies versus commies both on the correct and the incorrect frequency, because 9340 is only listed for CNR1 jamming against Sound of Hope. I haven't seen reports of it for some time, and it may have been off the air, but now we have three for Associazione Amici di Italcable in Massarossa, Italia. That's the time signal station on 10 megahertz exactly. However, it is not an official station, but put on by some private group, and we can only wonder how accurate the time signals may be. In any event, it's been heard by Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal, May 10th at 10:39. Not only do they have time checks, but it's interspersed with music. He says carrier pressed suppressed LSP, which means listen to it on upper sideband. It was also reported on May 18th by Roberto Pavanello in Italy at 22:55. He says it's located in Viareggio. He was also hearing music and time checks. And Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports it on May 23rd at 07:15. And by the way, the World Radio TV Handbook does not list it. It must not be qualified. Big news about North Korea. KCBS has stopped broadcasting on 2850 kHz. It had been the only station on the 105-meter band, actually qualifying as medium wave below 3 megahertz, and which we could hear at least a carrier and often more just about any morning before sunrise. But on May 25th, Ron Howard in California reports hearing it instead on 3205 until sign-off at 11:02 UT. Ron thanks Amano of the Japanese DX site, now on the Radio DX, for helping to identify 3205. The new frequency was still being heard on May 26th and 27th, such as by Dan Sheedy in California, where it was running well past 12:35. Ron forwards some speculation by Martin Williams, journalist, researcher, and expert on North Korea, with some observations. It's been one of their long-time, long-running frequencies, 2850. Perhaps it developed a fault and is temporarily off the air. The Chinese border more or less closed. It could be a protracted closure if parts are needed from overseas. 3205 could be a temporary backup. Or this could all be coincidental. They're simply testing a new frequency. North Korea is not known for adhering to international regulations, but this does put it inside the official 90-meter band, although it's hardly tropical. Now concerning South Korean clandestines for the North, Rick Barton in Arizona reports Voice of Freedom on 5920, May 23rd at 1300, all pop music. There was no jamming at TuneIn, but a few minutes later there was a beeper jammer, he says, building in strength. However, Ron Howard in California says on May 25th, Voice of Freedom, 5920, had no jamming but some interference from OTH radar, while their former frequency, 6135, is no longer being jammed by North Korea. As for the other clandestines south to North Korea, making weekly jump-around frequency changes as of May 25th, Monday, Ron Howard reports these. At 10:07 UT, Echo of Hope on 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095. While Voice of the People was on 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600, checked 3 minutes later. However, he says, just to prove me wrong, by May 27th, the 3930 frequency had gone back to 3925, colliding with Japan. Also drawing North Korean jamming, so no consideration given to poor Japan, now completely blocked on 3925. Or why they should bother, but Ron Howard also notes that Echo of Hope has started broadcasting in Korean Chinese language lessons, heard May 27th at 1049 on 4880, and May 28th at 1050 on 9095. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2036. Equally non-commercial, our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Terry Colgan in Texas, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Not necessarily in U.S. funds, as they will convert. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Speaking of 6135, now about Madagascar, Manuel Mendez in Spain reports hearing RNM, May 24th, as late as 0514, in vernacular with comments and songs, some interference from Brazil's Aparecida on 6135.1, but Madagascar fading out due to daylight there. Furthermore, Ron Howard says on May 23rd and 24th, as early as 1230 UT, no North Korean jamming on 6135, allowing for decent reception of Radio Madagascar. If the jamming has truly left the frequency, there should be fair reception most days. He says, I've always enjoyed this station and their musical selections, whenever it was possible to hear them on 6135, but fairly good reception now. Ron Howard says it's time to check in again with Sylvia Kalau, the Cross Radio in Micronesia at Pacific Mission Aviation in Pohnpei. I asked her if she had any plans to reactivate the Cross Radio on shortwave, and her quick reply, greetings from one of the COVID-19 free countries. I'm sorry, but we will not be broadcasting shortwave. The cost is too much for us. That used to be on 4755, you may recall, as in WRTH 6 years ago. Ron says, not surprised, back in May 2015, the station was hit by Typhoon Dolphin. It took them a while to get FM back up and running, but getting shortwave again never worked out for them. Whenever there's a report like this, Bob Bierman of WRMI chimes in with his gloomy outlook about the future of shortwave, but which is probably correct. He says, sadly, in the next few years, many shortwave facilities will be gone due to incredibly high cost of operations, declining revenue, and the rapidly shrinking pool of engineers and people that even know what it is or even care. Enjoy the hobby while you can. Walt Solomonov in BC replies on the WORIO group, I sense that some of these smaller religious stations were ill-prepared for the long haul. Perhaps a benefactor came along with deep pockets. The station was built and brought on air with a lot of fanfare. All went well initially, but what about ongoing costs and maintenance? The initial enthusiasm evaporates, a cyclone or two hits, or an expensive tube blows, and voila, the station is off the air. Bob Bierman replies, that is not a hunch on your part, it is the reality of the state of shortwave often found today. If you knew just how much a replacement or rebuilt final tube costs today compared to just 20 years ago, it is shocking. The increase has far outpaced inflation, and some tubes are now getting almost impossible to find. Some vintage gear that is still working on the air today will soon be silent, as many of the critical components in tubes are vanishing, and the vast majority of companies that built this gear are long gone. Only a few remain, and some, like Continental, are prohibitively expensive on what parts they still have. In the U.S., it is required that your main transmitter be a minimum of 50 kilowatts, unless you're WJHR, GH says. That makes the cost of operation huge, and when you jump to 100 kilowatts or more, it goes up exponentially. With the right antenna, 15 kilowatt units covered as well as many with 50. Some North American pirate logs this week from yours truly on the unusual frequency of 5100, May 24th at the unusual time of 0615 UT, I was hearing some mushy rock music. One other report in HF Underground said Sicko Radio, S-Y-C-K-O, had been on that frequency the previous hour in PSK and RTTY instead. May 25th at 2353, I found Mix Radio International per frequent IDs and mostly jazz music on 6880 USB. They said they were collaborating with Cool AM radio, but soon there was interference on the lower side from a MarsNet on 6878.5 USB. In fact, Texas Army Mars, they were also complaining about the interference and shifted to an alternate frequency for them, 6818.5. Texas Radio Shortwave, the pirate, was heard as scheduled, May 23rd at midnight 24 on 6925 USB with its tribute to Roy Orbison. At that time, he was sounding like Elvis. And in a routine band scan, I discovered a new daytime frequency for station YHWH, the Antichrist Pirate, exactly 12,000 a.m., May 23rd at 1553, with its usual pushing it modulation. Ron Hart has more hot news for us about Papua New Guinea, this referring to disgraced FB, NBC Radio Real PNG. On May 22nd, about NBC Madang, it said after shortwave frequency 3260 was restored, FM was upgraded. And on May 22nd, that was about NBC New Ireland, Voice of the High Seas. The commissioning of the refurbished studio and office building in Kavieng is completed and now commissioned by the Minister for Info Communication and Technology. But it's not clear whether this refers to shortwave 3905, so Ron has asked them if that's reactivated. He says no hint of any signal there on May 23rd, when 3260 was also off the air. Bougainville was on until 1110. There's more from PNG. Ron says, I saw that Oktedi Mining Limited in the Western Province has a new managing director, so I asked him if they were considering reactivating Radio Fly on shortwave. 5 minutes later, he got a reply. We plan to revive Radio Fly before the end of the year. Look forward to receiving your feedback. It used to be on 3915 and 5960. The British DX Club, Jorge Garzon Gutierrez in Spain, says Radio Sim in Portugal will be switching off. The medium wave network owned by the Catholic Renascença Group is closing due to financial problems. According to its webpage, it had been reduced to only a few medium wave frequencies still active. Dave Kenny says, according to WRTH, those are 891, 963, 981, 1251, two transmitters on the last one, power no greater than 3 kilowatts. Sarawak Nan, Dan Sheedy in Sanitas, California reports better reception now from the clandestine Radio Nyawa Sarawak, since they apparently moved the transmitter site to Taiwan on 11890. Heard at various times between 11 and 11:58 UT on May 20th, 22nd, and 25th. Noticias de X, Jose Bueno in Spain forwards a notice from the website of Radio Exterior de España saying they are resuming programming as of June 1st. Of course, they've remained on the air, but just relaying the domestic service. So they'll be having their own programming again, but no mention of anything in foreign languages. Should there be anything in English, we should expect it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 to 22:30 UT on 9690, at least, for North America. WRMI notified us that there's a new program there, Freedom Synergy Radio, beginning Monday, May 25th, in English and Spanish, advocating for Taiwan. It's at 0130 to 0230 UT Tuesday through Saturday on 5800. I monitored it the second night and found it was entirely in English in 2 half-hour segments, but they were different, and the main announcer has a Spanish name and a Spanish accent, not Chinese. In fact, their website says their address is in Coral Gables, Florida. It's freedomsynergy.world. The 15-minute segment went on and on about what a great tourist destination Taiwan is. She told it in the first person, saying it reminds her a lot of Hawaii. So I found the first half hour was on an additional second frequency not mentioned, 9395, and the 0200 hour was on 4 frequencies, meaning it usurped or used up those which had been for Radio Taiwan International in Spanish, that is 5800, 9395, 5010, and 7780. The official RTI in Spanish half hour still remains at 01 UT just before it on 5800. John Carver and I heard Alan Weiner explain that the WBCQ superstation was off the air, and he and his staff had to make some repairs, which took several hours, climbing up inside the rotatable antenna. This was about May 20th on Wednesday, when I found 9330 was off the air. However, a week later, on May 27th, the afternoon, 9330 was missing again, and so was 7490, when World of Radio should have aired at 2100. British DX Club Alan Pennington reports that Alan Weiner mentioned on Twitter that their 90-meter band frequency was back 3265 daily from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern with alternative programming. That would be 01 to 04 UT. That frequency is useless as far away as Oklahoma, especially in the summer. I wonder why he doesn't run it in the winter. Alan Pennington in the UK continues, I checked 3265 at 0240 UT, not audible in Caversham, but weak and clear via a remote in Georgia, USA. The frequency a little bit high, around 3265.15. It seemed not to be parallel to 5 or 7 MHz frequencies, but after 0300, it was parallel to much stronger 7490 with shortwave Saturday night. The program was live and mentioned the new frequency 3265. Via a remote in Massachusetts, Wolfgang Büschel measured it May 25th at 0120 on 3265.135. About the dead child molester now being broadcast by WRMI in the middle of the night, Tony Alamo, Ron Howard has this interesting background. His life was stranger than fiction. I was amazed to learn about the denim jackets his followers made and he sold to celebrities. There's a story about what was really happening about this at refinery29.com. Tony Alamo cult leader denim jackets. Part of the story. They were assembled in a factory in Alma, Arkansas, converted from a large restaurant. They described the process. Children manned the rhinestone station using their small fingers. They dropped row after row of Swarovski stones into tiny fittings. The working conditions were harsh. Bleach fumes billowed from the stone washing drum. Every day up to 150 people, men, women, and children, worked for as long as 14 hours a day. Sometimes the children's fingers bled from handling the pointy rhinestones. The finished product was a genuine Tony Alamo of Nashville jacket. The workers who made them labored for free in the service of the cult leader. The jackets were a hot fashion commodity in the 80s. Flashy and expensive, they were a favorite among celebrities. Dolly Parton, Mike Tyson, Brooke Shields, Burt Reynolds, anybody who was anybody wanted to be photographed in one. Michael Jackson wore a customized leather version on the cover of the Bad album. The jackets with their boxy fit, stonewash finish, elaborate airbrush designs, and sparkling Swarovski crystals are having another moment in fashion as of 2018. Tastemakers like Nicki Minaj, A$AP Rocky, Miley Cyrus, and Francis Bean Cobain have all recently been photographed wearing the highly sought-after jackets. KVOH 17775 Los Angeles returned to the air the morning of May 27th, heard here with a good signal. It had been off the air for about 2 weeks. I was asking Ray Robinson about the situation. Earlier he said we needed more parts than anticipated, obtaining them more difficult than normal under present restrictions, and at that time he planned to be back on by Thursday, the 28th. I asked him about the transmitter designated on their website, Schaffner Harris. He says, what you are hearing is the RCA running at 50 kilowatts. The Schaffner Harris is the one we acquired from WTWW, who got it from KTWR in Guam. It was originally a Harris SW100, not 100A or B, with many components missing or damaged beyond repair. Over the past 5 years, it has been radically modified by our chief engineer, Jim Schaffner, and has thus become a rather unique machine. In recognition of Jim's efforts, our president, John Taylor, dubbed it the Schaffner Harris. It's still being worked on, but at this point, it is not yet on the air. Ron Howard says the past 2 weekends, Vanuatu has been off the air. It seems they're Monday through Friday only on 3945 and the harmonics. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued May 25th. Geomagnetic field quiet to isolated unsettled levels. However, A and K indices shown as only 5 and 2, and solar flux stuck at 70 through June 20th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2036 with a standard disclaimer.